As we celebrate our last day of Hanukkah, our festival of lights, today I'd like to talk with you about a great light to the Jewish people, a rabbi who revolutionized the way Judaism was not only practiced, but also the way it was studied. Today I'd like to talk to you about the greatest rabbi who ever lived. Now, just to clarify, many of you know that my wife, Deborah, this past spring was ordained as a rabbi, but this sermon is not about her. Deborah is certainly the greatest rabbi in our house, but even I would have to admit that there, in the history of Judaism, in the great rich history of Judaism, there are a few rabbis who managed to squeak past Deborah. So who is the greatest rabbi? Who's the greatest rabbi? And I already heard the name. We don't have to look too far for clues. Just look at the name of our school, Sinai Akiva Academy. Rabbi Akiva, arguably the greatest rabbi who ever lived. Rabbi Akiva achieves greatness in his life, but the beginning of his story, it may surprise you. You see, Akiva grew up in a very poor home. It was a struggle for his father, Joseph, to even put food on the table, and Judaism wasn't much of a consideration. And like today, a formal education was not accessible to everyone, especially the poor. For Akiva's family, it wasn't even a possibility. So like his father, Akiva becomes a shepherd. And that legend tells us that Akiva continues on as an ignorant shepherd, someone who doesn't even know an aleph from a bet, until he was almost 40 years old. And then something miraculous happens. Akiva meets his future wife, Rachel. And somehow, and shouldn't this be the case with all spouses, Rachel sees the potential in Akiva. While other people see an ignorant shepherd, Rachel sees the potential of a great scholar. She sees the potential of a great man. And it's at her encouragement that Akiva goes and pursues an education. But it's not all smooth sailing. In fact, Akiva drops out of school. He leaves his tutor several times. And it's not until Akiva has a small son, 4 or 5 years old, and he takes his son with him, and he takes his son to go learn Judaism. Akiva sits down with the tutor, alongside with his son, and there he begins a lifelong learning of Torah. I've been thinking about this model a lot in the past few months, about Akiva and about his Jewish studies and his path to Jewish studies. And I've been thinking about this particularly when I meet with one of our congregants. This woman is extraordinary. Just a few years back, she knew absolutely nothing about Judaism. Yet she just started to read, she started attending classes, and this woman, a member of our community, someone who, like so many of us, juggles many, many commitments, time with her children, with her husband, organizations, volunteer projects, somehow she made the time to go back and to study Judaism. And this past semester, she enrolled in the University of Judaism. We periodically met this past semester to review her work. And I am proud to say that there were several times when we sat down to study philosophy, I was unable to follow her. She had surpassed my knowledge. And I want this wonderful lady to serve as a model and an inspiration for us. Because for so many of us, Jewish learning is intimidating. There are so many texts, there are so many laws, there are so many customs, and there's a lot. But do not be intimidated. If Rabbi Akiva can start learning at the age of 40 and become the greatest rabbi who ever lived, whatever our age, we can all become knowledgeable Jews. All we have to do is start to learn. And there are plenty of places for us to begin. The PTA of both the religious school and Akiba, both of them offer classes for parents, and the Adult Ed Committee, so ably chaired by Leslie Wachtel, there are countless lectures and scholar-in-residence weekends and classes. And for the young professionals, Atid offers Hebrew classes, and we offer a Torah classes. For high school students, there's Sci High. What I'm trying to say is there is a place for all of us in this community to study Torah, to learn about our faith. It's never too late to begin. Just remember Rabbi Akiva. So after years of studying with men half of his age, Akiva emerges as a leading rabbinical figure, and his brilliance is clear. And Akiva develops and leads one of the two major schools of rabbinic thought. The other school is led by Rabbi Ishmael. And you can imagine their impact, because together, Ishmael and Akiva are called the fathers of the rabbinic world. So Ishmael and Akiva, the two leaders of these schools, have vastly different ways of approaching Jewish law. According to Rabbi Ishmael, each text has a simple, plain meaning. Rabbi Ishmael asserts that the Torah was written for humans to understand, and therefore it is the message of the entire text, not any particular word, that is most important. Now, in contrast to Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Akiva feels that each word of Scripture is pregnant with meaning. Akiva claims that there is nothing in the Torah that is superfluous. Every last word, every letter, has a richness and a reason. According to Rabbi Akiva, everything in the Torah has meaning, and it's the job of the rabbis to unlock that meaning and share it with the Jewish community. Akiva and Ishmael. And this morning I want to emphasize Rabbi Akiva's approach, although Ishmael, it's a wonderful approach and does merit a lot of consideration. But this morning I want to focus on Akiva's approach. For Akiva, it's all about the meaning. Everything in the Torah, even, you know, when you look at a Torah and the calligraphy and the decorations on top of each letter, for Akiva, even that calligraphy has meaning. And Akiva dedicates his life to unlocking the mystery of the entire Torah, of every last letter. Finding meaning. We live in a time in which people spend more and more time at the office and less time with our families. And as we busily hurry through our lives, packing our schedules with appointments and adding another chore to an endless list of to-dos, let's remember Rabbi Akiva and his quest for meaning. Let's not allow the frenetic pace of our lives to prevent us from giving pause and ascertaining what is meaningful, what's important, what hits our souls, what touches our hearts. Consider these questions. Do we spend our time in a way that matches what's most important to us? Do we spend our time in a way that matches what's most important to us? Another question. When we talk to other people, are we talking about things that are most important and significant to us? How do we talk with other people? And finally, I'd like us to consider, do our actions reflect our values? And I ask us to consider these questions because our lives are too precious and they're too short to just let time go by. as we live our lives, let's take a cue from Rabbi Akiva and let's live meaningfully. So up until now, we've studied the life of Rabbi Akiva and his contribution to Jewish law. Akiva is also influential in the political world. And it's a political move of Rabbi Akiva's that I'd like to look at in closing. Now, it's important to note that throughout Rabbi Akiva's life, the Jewish community was struggling with how to live under Roman rule. Now, in 132 of the Common Era, Bar Kokhba, a charismatic militant figure, arose in the Jewish community, and he encouraged revolt against the Romans. He had a following. But when Rabbi Akiva went so far not only to support Bar Kokhba, but to declare that Bar Kokhba was the Messiah, the Mashiach, thousands flocked to Bar Kokhba, and thousands followed him into battle against the Romans. Despite an initial success, their rebellion was eventually crushed. Bar Kokhba was clearly not the Mashiach, he wasn't the Messiah, and he was killed, and the entire region of Judea was laid to waste by the Romans. The Bar Kokhba rebellion was an enormous, colossal catastrophe for the Jewish people, and there is no way to divorce Rabbi Akiva from at least partial responsibility. His support of Bar Kokhba, that he went so far as to call Bar Kokhba Mashiach, was a colossal error. Nevertheless, 2,000 years later, our school is still named for Rabbi Akiva. We still proudly quote his teachings, and we follow his rulings. We can even assert that he was the greatest rabbi ever, despite his error with Bar Kokhba. And from this, there's something valuable to learn. We all make mistakes. There are things in our lives that we get right, and there are things that we get wrong, really wrong. Life is too challenging, and we're only human. We are not perfect. So as we go through our lives, making our fair share of mistakes, let's remember Rabbi Akiva. Let's remember that everyone makes mistakes. Even the most talented, the smartest, the most shrewd, everyone, even Rabbi Akiva. Let's remember that we will all be wrong, and yet we can still be great. This morning, let's take to heart the three lessons that we've learned from Rabbi Akiva. It's never too late to begin to study. Strive to live life meaningfully. And we will all be wrong, yet we can still be great. On this final day of our Festival of Lights, let the bright light of Rabbi Akiva continue to inform our intellect and guide our souls. On this Shabbat Chanukah, may the teachings and memory of the greatest rabbi continue to be a source of blessing for us and for the entire people of Israel. Shabbat Shalom.